Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, and good evening. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We'd like to welcome you back tonight. It is Monday, the 11th of April, 2016, and we thank God for you for joining us tonight. Well, tonight we're going to talk about Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're going to talk about being single. We have an interview today. Our guest is going to be Brother Leroy McKenzie Jr., and we're going to talk to him a little bit about being single in the body of Christ and some of the challenges and some of the things that men go through as being single Christian men who are faithful to their walk and commitment to God and some of the struggles you go to. And I hope that this will be informative and be able to touch on some of the subjects that we don't necessarily hear about or some of the things that you know that the single men in your church may be going through, and that we can also find a way to solve these issues, address them, deal with them, and hopefully encourage the brothers to continue on. You know, one of the things as I was preparing for these series of interviews that we're going to be doing with single men, that not necessarily all the singles in the church. Well, I've been doing it with both single men and women, and depending on who they are and where they are in their walk and where they are in their life, not all singles are looking to be married or looking for a spouse, and, you know, they're happy, they're content. And, you know, some of the things that sometimes in the church we assume singles have, that every single in the church is looking for a spouse. And, you know, and that's how sometimes we approach them. And I'm finding out sometimes that can be kind of off-putting or even insulting to them, because you don't respect, it seems like we don't respect their choices, or we, you know, we're trying to always think they're going to be somehow, their life is going to be better if they find a spouse. So I invite you to join us in the next coming weeks of this month of April. And some of May, and I have some other guests coming on who are single in the body of Christ. And we're going to be talking to them and just giving some insight and, you know, and share some of the things. We're going to talk about singles ministries. We're going to talk about their lives, how they deal with other singles in the church, and just their whole perception of the body of Christ and what things that make them maybe feel uncomfortable, or the things that they appreciate, because I've heard a lot of singles ministries do a lot of different things to empower singles and also to encourage them, and then to even, you know, use them as to witness and encourage those. Because my thing, I always, if we realize it, all our youth are going to have a season of singleness in their lives, and they may need to hear from other singles who are walking that thing out on how to do that and be encouraged. And singles go through things that married folk and folk with families may not even realize or even understand. Amen. So we're going to start with scripture, open in prayer, and then we're going to go right into the conversation. Tonight I'm going to be reading from the Word of God. We're going to go to Galatians, chapter number 3, starting at verse number 1. And the Word of God says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on these things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Father, we say thank you today, Lord God. We come to you with open hearts and hearts of gratitude. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, O God, and shedding his blood, O God, that we might be saved, O God, that you, O God, took your wrath and anger, O God, for our disobedience unto your Son. Father, we thank you, O God, for the sacrifice, God. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit, O God, that indwells in us and keeps us and guides us and directs us, O God. Continue, O God, to watch over us, God. I pray, O God, for every man that's listening, O God, every family, O God, everyone that is hooked up and connected in their circle of influence, O God, their wives, their children, O God, their parents, O God. And, Father, continue to bless the ministries and the churches, O God, that are laboring, O God, with your word, with the true, unadulterated, simplistic gospel of Jesus Christ to share to all the world. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Again, you're listening to Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I want to give a couple of shout-outs. We had on this last Saturday, April the 9th, 2016, we've had our Man Up event, and this is our third one in the last year. And I just wanted to give a shout out to a couple of ministries and churches that attended. Pastor Bartimus Otter from Victory Christian Fellowship in Edgewood, Maryland. I wanted to give him a shout out. my pastor, Bishop Joseph McCargo, CEO of Hope International Worship Center in Columbia, Maryland, Apostle Etta Banks and New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders, and her men for coming out and supporting, Overseer Maurice Cornwell from Uplift the Word Ministries in Pasadena, Maryland. His brothers came. We had, you know, and they were a blessing to us. Pastor George Sharps and Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship, and Deacon Anthony Lee was one of our presenters. Also, Elder Raymond Henson from New Vision of Life, New Vision's Four Life Kingdom Builders, was also one of our presenters and facilitators, and also the Pastor John Watts and Elder Daryl Holmes was also one of our facilitators from Kingdom Life Church in Brooklyn, Maryland. And I just wanted to give a shout out and encouragement. I thank you for the support also from Winning Souls Evangelistic Church with Pastor Ian Edwards and the men there. They supported us and they was praying for us, and they gave us some support to help us be able to facilitate the event. So we say thank you to them. And also, I just wanted to just thank the brothers who came out. You may be listening tonight. And I pray that something that you heard encouraged you. It set your feet on a path, set your mind to a vision, and that you will continue to move forward in your walk. And also, what we talked about there, the challenge, the evangelistic challenge that we have given the brothers. They all, if you were there, you know what that challenge was, and that the gospel will be spread to those who have not heard the gospel. And it also will be a blessing to our communities and those who have not yet heard the gospel. So that challenge is still on. I hope to hear good reports and testimonies come back from that, from the outreach that we developed there at the men's conference. Amen. And I urge you to connect with us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk for our next event. We have a couple other upcoming events. Oh, I also want to give a shout out to Elder Rondell Hall from CRL Men's Group. They came out and supported us. He was there with us. And a matter of fact, their next men's event is on the books. It's going to be its first Fridays, and that's Church of the Redeemed of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland. And again, if you go on the Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, you'll see the flyer up there. But it's every first Friday at 7 p.m. We encourage you to come out and fellowship with those brothers. And I just definitely want to give him a shout out, because he brought his men from Baltimore to Glen Burnie to hang with us. So thank you very much for that. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, ladies, gentlemen, and brothers, we're going to be talking a little bit about being single in the body of Christ. Again, our guest tonight is going to be Brother Leroy McKenzie Jr., and we're going to share some insights and share some wisdom, and hopefully we can encourage some of the single brothers out there to help with the struggles and encourage you to press on and continue on, and most of all, stay true to God and be obedient to His Word, because our character matters. Integrity matters. And our conduct matters. Amen. Brother McKenzie, can you hear me? How are you?
Yes, sir. Ken, how are you this evening?
I'm wonderful, brother. Good to hear your voice again, man. How's everything going?
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, bro, I'm going to start with you, because you're the guest of honor tonight, because I want to share, because I'm an old guy. I've been married a long time, so I don't know none of what we're going to be talking about. So you're going to be the main focus tonight. Amen.
Okay. Not a problem.
Amen. Well, first of all, share with the audience a little bit about yourself. Where you fellowship?
Well, I am, again, my name is Leroy McKenzie Jr. I am from Baltimore, Maryland, born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. I am the President and CEO of JNF Enterprises, which is a distribution, publishing, and business consulting firm here in Baltimore. I fellowship will go to church at New Psalmist Baptist Church, which is here, located here in Baltimore, which the bishop is Bishop Walter S. Thomas, Sr. Have been a member of New Psalmist for now 24 years. Had to go back for 24 years. So I've pretty much grown up in New Psalmist and Baptist
Amen.
Church. It's been my church since I was in college. I started going my senior year in college. When I would come home, my mother told me about it. She was the one that introduced me to the church. To that church, because prior to then we went to a Seventh-day Adventist church. I was raised in a Seventh-day Adventist church, but my senior year in college, coming home, you know, coming home, visiting my mother and everything, and she's like, oh, you got to go to this church. It's a great church, and you would be so pleased with the number of men that go to the church, because that was what caught her eye about to tell me, because she's always wanted and made sure that I was surrounded by positive men. So when she had, I guess, started going to this church, and she saw that it was this huge congregation, and it had a large congregation of men, she thought that was just a great thing. And I started going there, and haven't left since. So,
amen, bro. That's really good to hear, man. If you find something that's moving you and blessing you and helping you grow in Christ, ain't no reason to go move on. And I remember New Summers. You know, I came to Baltimore, and New Summers is one of the churches. But now y'all have a whole campus out there in West Baltimore now.
Yes, sir.
I've noticed that their church has grown greatly, because I remember when I first came to Baltimore, Bishop Walter Scott was on the radio, and I heard him. I used to listen to him a lot before I was really dedicated to Christ. I would catch him, I think it was Saturday or Sundays, you know, when I was on my way back in, you know what I'm saying? But, however, that was then. Amen. Amen. Well, bro, we're going to talk a little about being single in the ministry. Let me ask you this, since we talk about your church. Does your church have a singles ministry? And
well, yes, we do have a singles ministry. And it's funny because I used to be, and this was some time ago, I'm talking over maybe 10 years ago, so 10 years or so ago now, maybe somewhere around there. I was actually on the singles ministry committee. I was actually a part of the committee that would create the, you know, the events that we would do, and kind of tried to keep the, you know, what the ministry was trying to achieve and all of those things. But we do, yes, we do have a singles ministry that's going, you know, that goes on in the church. I think every church should have a singles ministry, because I think it's vital to, you know, to ministry in and of itself, because it caters to those members who are single, you know, and they shouldn't feel as if they are, you know, are left out, you know, and feel like they're kind of the black sheep for the family, so to speak, because they are, you know, because they are single. And I think that's one thing that those men who are single have to understand and realize, that it's not a bad thing to be single, you know. And I think some people kind of have a negative connotation when it comes to, you know, being single, especially a single man in the, you know, in the church and everything. So we do have a singles ministry that addresses the, you know, the needs of the single, the singles in the church.
Amen. So let me ask you this, bro, because again, this is going to be about you. As a single brother, because you say you've been in New Summers for a number of years, and you mature through the body of Christ. What, as a single man, what are some of the things that you can share from your past as growing up in the church? The pressures, burdens, things that happened that, you know, really, you know, upset you, or what? What kind of things? Should you share your experience about being single in the body of Christ?
Sure. I think one of the things with me growing up in the church and single in the church and my church in particular. I think that what the singles ministry at our church tried to do was, it did try to address some of the needs of being single, having activities that single people could go to and have to go to within the body of Christ to be a part of, that you didn't have to. You know, you didn't have to always be at home. There was things, activities that were going on that you could go to, that you could have a great time. There would be no pressure for, you know, because you are single, or there would be no pressure in trying to meet somebody or anything like that, because that wasn't the purpose of the ministry. It wasn't a dating service, and it wasn't a means to be able to, you know, to kind of meet people. Now, if that happened, you know, then that would happen, you know, with you going out. But that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the intent of it. It was to give you a safe environment that you could go to, being a single person, to give you something to be able to do that you might not otherwise be, you know, have to do, had you not been a part of the singles ministry. So, that was, you know, those one of the things. I think the other thing, being in the singles ministry, in a church, it can help you. It can help you with your Christ and being around others who are single, like you, and who are, you know, who may either, you know, be single for whatever reason. Because you had different people that were part of the ministry, singles ministry, for different reasons. You had some that were widowed, some that were single by, you know, single by choice, or there were some that were single and, you know, and just, you know, trying to live the, you know, had to live the single life until they met someone. So they, you know, chose to be a part of the ministry in order to be able to have, you know, have some fun and go out and be around like-minded, Christ-minded individuals. So for me, it had been, you know, it was a great experience because I got to meet new people. That was one of the ways I got to meet people in the church. I got to know people in the church because of that, you know, because of that particular ministry, among the other ministries that I was a part of. But it was an effective way for me to just meet people and to know people in my church. You know, with my church being a big church, you can get lost within the church if that happens. But it also, when I was able to be a part of that ministry, I got to know people, just the friendships that I've gained from being in that, you know, in that ministry. So I think it can help someone. It can help you as a single person to just, you know, you might, if somebody's shy, you know, it might be a way of them being able to come out of their shell because they're around people who they should, you know, should feel comfortable with. Now, not everybody may feel comfortable, you know, in the ministry, but, you know, but they can. It can make you feel comfortable because, you know, everybody that's a part of this particular ministry is just like you, you know, and single just like you. Now, it might be different circumstances, like I mentioned, as to why they may be single, but the bottom line is that you're all single, you're all hanging out, you're all, and you know, a part of the ministry to have fun and to, you know, and to be a part of the, you know, the body, this particular body of Christ, and enjoy yourself and to have fun around other people.
Amen, amen. And let me ask you that, because I understand what you're saying, you know, because I think that's very important too, that fellowship. And that, you know, those things in life that we have in common can build those bonds, and not necessarily, like you said, you know, because I used to sit, when I sat in meetings, leadership meetings, and we talked about singles ministries, that was one of the concerns for a lot of pastors, that a lot of relationships, because of whatever reasons, immaturity or, how should I say this, predatorial atmosphere, it could hurt the church. And when I say that, I want to talk about men and women, because you know, people get hooked up with people, and it's not all for righteous and godly reasons and friendships, and you know, sometimes that would be some of the concerns. But like you say, there can be a positive thing, and I think everything, like everything else, there should be boundaries, there should be accountability, and I think that's part of us being in fellowship together. And those things and those seasons of life that we're in, it's very important that we connect on that common level and build each other up. Amen. Right. Because you know, even myself, you know, as a married guy, as a family man, I may not necessarily understand what it means, the struggles that singles may go through, and especially single brothers. So that's what the next thing I wanted to ask you. As being a single man, what are some of the things that you were willing to share about some of the pressures of being single within the body? You know, people asking you when you get married, or even people say things out of, you know, trying to be friendly and funny, you know, when you're going to find a wife and all this other stuff. How does that kind of stuff, I mean, you know, we say that, And it may be loving, and it may be, and then it may be trying to be hurtful or whatever, or trying to push you somewhere. But, you know, as you look back over these years, how does that really, you think, makes people feel, or some of the things you've heard from other singles on those kind of things that how sometimes some churches treat single folk?
Well, you know what? I never had any pressure from, you know, from the church or even the folks that I, you know, that I hung around, and even with my family, it's never been a thing of, you know, when you're going to get married. Now, it's not like I haven't been in relationships throughout this time and everything like that. It hasn't been anybody in from my church, but I've been in relationships and you know, so it hasn't been where I've been, you know, just totally just haven't gotten married and haven't found that person that God has for me. And the ones that I thought that he had for me, that those weren't the ones that turned out to be the ones for me. So it can, I mean, for some people, it can feel like pressure. And I think, you know, I really think that women have more pressure on themselves as being single than men do. I think, you know, some people may look at men as, okay, you know, well, you know, you're in your 30s or your 40s and you're still single. You know, the kind of question that you might get is, what's wrong with you? You know, or, you know, what's going on. But I've never had that pressure where I've never had anybody that has asked me. I've had, you know, friends ask me, well, you know, they just kind of casually they've asked me, you know, have I, you know, was it, do I want to get married and everything like, cause I am single. And I'm like, yeah, I want to be married, you know, but I'm not going to, you know, my thing has always been, I'm not going to just marry someone just to marry someone. Just because I may have a relationship and I feel like, okay, is this relationship the one that God has for me? And if it is, then, you know, then we move forward. And if it wasn't, which, you know, they weren't, you move forward and you say, you know, that wasn't it. And you do have to be strong in the Lord to say, okay, Lord, I know you have someone for me. And it's in your time, not my time, because we don't control his time. His time is his time. So when that person is meant for you to meet them, then you will meet them. So I think some people can, you know, some people can feel that pressure being, you know, being in the church, or, you know, whether it's a family. You have some people's family that pressure them as far as, you know, when they're going to get married or those type of things, and they can, you know, they can be pressured into marrying someone because they feel like, oh, I gotta get married, you know, I gotta have kids before I get, you know, before it gets too late and things like that. But I think those who are strong in the Lord understand that that we can't, or we don't control who he has for us. And when he has someone for us, and we meet someone, and just because you're single doesn't mean you necessarily don't date either, because you can date. You know, you may date. You know, you may date people, and they just may not be that particular one that you want to spend the rest of your life with, because that's a serious commitment. You know, spending the rest of your life with someone is a serious commitment, and you know, we know what the divorce rate is, you know, in this world today, and people don't take marriage as seriously as they used to. You know, they don't want to work at it. You know, so a lot of people, you know, have the attitude, well, instead of me having to even work at being married, I'm just gonna stay single and I'll be good with it. You know. And a lot of people are dealing with hurt. I'm going to tell you, Brother Farr, it's a lot of single people dealing with hurt out here today. And I think that deters people from getting married as well. So, and that's part of the reason why I think they stay single, why they don't feel pressured into being married, and they're finally being single. You know, I think that's a part of it.
Amen, yeah. So you're right, and sometimes that's the things we don't consider. You know, people don't live in a vacuum, and just because they're in the church doesn't mean they haven't been through certain things. And you're right, because it is. It's a big change of lifestyle to didn't commit into a marriage, and some people got into it before they was in the church or even while they were in the church,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't
mm-hmm.
work out for them, and they don't want to go back to that thing, and we have to understand, we have to be sensitive to that. Amen?
Right.
You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. If you're listening online, you can call in at 646-668-2636 during the conversation, ask any questions where we can get the answer to you. Tonight we're talking about a single Christian man, and our guest tonight is Brother Leroy McKenzie Jr. Also, you can, if you're listening to this, you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And also you can contact us on Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page and share your insights, your opinions, what you thought. And if you have any other topic ideas for upcoming shows for this 2016 season, please share it with us. Inbox us, send us an inbox, send us on the Facebook page. You can post it there and we'll reach out to you, come back to you, and possibly use your topic. Amen. Well, brother, I'm going to continue on. Let me ask you a question because you touched on a little bit in the last segment there. What do you think about how the church, in your experience, because we're going to work out of your experience and your testimony, do you think that the church treats single men differently than they do married men?
No. Me personally, no. I don't think so. I think marriages get more recognized in the church than singles. And I think I say that because I think because of the way that the church tries to be careful in how they present people who are single. I don't know if this happens at your church, but if there's an activity that's going on for the singles ministry and the pastor may say, can all of the single people stand up? You know, people will be, kind of hesitant because they're like, oh, I don't want somebody to know that I'm single, or I don't want people to think that I'm, think that I'm single for whatever reason. You know, they may think that, oh, if somebody sees that I'm single, then they might be like, oh, okay, or they might think that they might get hit on if they do, if they do acknowledge that they are single. So it can be, that can be a little tricky. I know for my church, one of the things that I do like because it gives a positive image of marriage is when they do the announcements. We get, I think it's pretty much every week. There's somebody that has married couple that has an anniversary, so they will acknowledge, that particular couple. And being married for however, whatever their anniversary is. And I'm talking, a lot of times it's people 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And I think that's great because it gives those who may be single a positive image of marriage and lets them know, look, you can be married and can be happy, to kind of offset that negative image that we just talked about where people have a negative connotation of marriage because of what they may have been through, whatever experiences that they've been through, whether it's being, being married and getting divorced, or whether it's, being single and being hurt and saying they don't, they're not even, they don't even want to think about marriage because of all of the hurt that they've been through. I think that, I don't think that they treat singles differently. I think singles sometimes kind of put that pressure on themselves, because of what they presume to be the negative stigma of being single, I think that the church tries to do it the right way and try to make sure that they don't, put undue pressure on, on singles and everything, or make them feel, feel bad. I haven't experienced that where I thought that, that the church made people feel bad for being single, mm-hmm. and everything like that. But, I think that there's a line that people try to be, the church tries to be careful with, so.
Yeah, I agree, you know, because, again, you know, I'm talking to other singles from some of my past shows, you know, sometimes, you know, churches, you know, they somehow that, you know, that singles, there's something they're not doing right, that they're not looking to have a family, looking for a spouse, and they should be getting married, and that, because I talked to some older singles, and they say, yeah, but they tell me back in the day, the church was definitely looking to marry folk. For whatever reason, that was something they would, you know, they would harp on it. I guess it doesn't happen that much now, but like I say, I talked to some singles who've been in the church a while. Well, they're single. Well, the ones I've talked to, they were either widowed or divorced, and some of the women I've talked to had never really married, but they remember when they first came into the church years ago. That was one of the things. You know, they need to find a husband, and single brothers need to, you know, get a wife. And that was something that it was funny. They used to tell me they used to come across the pulpit. But I think we have changed and matured a little bit in that. Let me ask you this, because you touched on something earlier in one of your comments. Let's talk about dating, because I've talked about that a lot. And it depends where, you know, it depends where the pastor is at, where leadership is. We talk about dating, because also I want to put this out there, this caveat out there, because as our young people grow, I recently said this at a men's event, as these young men grow up, it's fine, they're in children's church, middle school, high school, they're going to be to college. After college, they're going to be young adults. And have we prepared them on the challenges they're going to meet, even in when they go away to college as being single, with all the things that's out there? And also, once they finish college and they come back, and then now they have their own place, they are out on their own. And are they truly prepared for the challenges that are going to come now, because they're not under the covering of their parents anymore. Now they have to make these choices for themselves. And dating is one of them, because some churches, again, we go all the way. I'm gonna phrase it like this: we can go all the way from to the conservative end to the liberal end, and somewhere in the middle. And what we teach young people about dating. And then, on the second part of that, if we're truly evangelizing the lost, there's going to be people coming into the body of Christ who have had a lifestyle they have been living, and now we want to line their lives up with the Word of God. And then that's where we have to come and have a biblical definition of dating and how we should mentor and disciple people and handle that. So what do you think about dating, and from your perspective?
Well, I think...
Let me interject this, too. I want to put it, define it. Because definition, when we say dating, we have to be talking about the same thing. Because when we use words, some people hear that word, and they already have a definition for it that may not be your definition. Amen?
Right. Well, I think when you talk about dating in the church, now if you're dating someone at your church, or dating someone, I think it's if you're dating someone out that goes to another church, it may be, you know, a lot easier to kind of say, I don't know how to say this the right way, but to keep people out of your business, because people in the church will try and get in your business though too. But if you two go to different churches, there may be, you know, a difference in the dating. But when you go to the same church and you're dating someone there in your church, you have to be, you know, you can be careful. And I kind of liken it to someone who may date someone on a job. You have to be mature. I think you have to have the mindset, and you all have to have that conversation. You know, we go to the same church. We may know the same people, you know, within the church and everything like that. So, you know, you have to define, like you just said, define dating. We have to define our relationship. I think if you do that up front and you define the relationship, and you both have an understanding of, you know, are we dating to be dating, or are we dating, you know, with the, you know, where we do see a future with each other, and possibly where we could possibly be heading towards marriage. You know, those things. I think those things when you meet someone, and I'm not saying on the first date, but you have to define that so that you have an understanding. Because I can tell you some horror stories, just within my church, of people that I've known that have dated, dated within the church, and things didn't work out, or they wound up, they were dating within the church, got married, things happened with people within the church. So all of those things can go on, and you should be careful, and if you are communicating with the with the person that you're dating, and those lines of communication are open, then you both know where the relationship is going. You both have an understanding of, hey, we're not going to do certain things so that we, like you said, live within how we're trying to live according to what the word says. Or, if you're someone who on the liberal end says, hey, if we're going to go there, then, we're not going to go there, or I don't want to go there, or you don't want to go there. You have that understanding with it, and you understand the consequences of it. So I think people have to be real, and I think people, single people, and this is single men, and I'm gonna talk to them tonight because this is what they're for. You got to be real, because the connotation is, and I do have seen this a little bit. I will say this. That it had, it's bad because not every man is like that, like you talked about, that predatory type of man within the church. Because, of course, there are, and I don't care what church you go to, there's more women than men. Women outnumber men pretty much everywhere we go. They're going to outnumber us. So a lot of, some men have used the church to get involved with multiple women, and to use the church as a dating type of, and I'm saying as a predatory place. And it can become a thing where single men, when you say you're a single man, they can look at you like, oh, well, he just here trying to date me and whoever else. That type of thing. It can be seen that way. So you have to be careful. And if you are open with the, with the individual, with the woman that you are interested in or dating, that you may be dating, then there's no room for that, for that confusion. Because both of you have an understanding of what it is. So, I think men need to be honest and be upfront. And it will, they need to make sure that the women are honest and upfront, with the relationships and everything. So I think when you do that, you keep the air clear. You both have an understanding, and there can be no misconceptions of the dating that you have going on.
Amen. That's one of the things when we talk at men's ministry that why we need accountability. I think for a single brother, and again, this goes back to one of our passions here, Issues Christian Men's Talk, is about ministry to men, men's ministries, that we are engaging men on the issues that they deal with every day. Because I think as mature men in the body of Christ, we have to be able to mentor and hold accountable the younger ones. I don't necessarily mean by age either. I mean by spiritual maturity. I mean by, what they're doing. Because, again, like you said, brother might be hurt, might be coming to look for a wife. But he may choose the wrong sister in the church. But if he doesn't, if he's not under a covering by someone there, a brother who's going to, hold him accountable, like you said, be able to talk to him. What are you doing when you're dating? What's going on with the date? Are you set boundaries? You set up a system, because it's not in the body of Christ. I've learned that even when we talk about dating, it needs to be redefined. It's not like the world, because some pastors preach against it. Whatever. I mean, that's wherever a man, wherever the leader is, where he's with it and what he teaches his people. But I think also in the men's ministry, these are some of the things we need to talk about. to prepare them. Because even if a brother comes off the right, what we call it, off the street, but he's new to the body of Christ and he's in his 30s, late 20s, mid 30s, we have to be able to give him a biblical principle on what it means to have sexual integrity. And integrity when he's dealing with women, because if he has a habit of dealing with women a certain way, he's going to bring that into the church, and that's going to cause problems also. But he's only doing what he knows if we are not renewing his mind, teaching, mentoring, building a relationship where we can teach him there's a different way to treat women. So I think that's how I see it as a man now at a certain age and been in the body of Christ a while and who has daughters, have seen young girls grow up from, you know, from the youth ministry, the children's ministry to grown women, knowing that those things are there. And I think this is why I talk about being as a men's ministry, we have to be multifaceted in our ministering to our men because, you know, we all need help. Amen.
Right.
Again, you listen, it's just Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're here tonight with our guest, Brother Leroy McKenzie, and we're talking about the single life. The single life in the body of Christ. See, I just made that up, bro, just now. That just came to me. Yeah, man, that just gave me an unction right there. But we're talking about the single life in the body of Christ and his experiences, and then sharing, and then getting, hopefully, we'll give someone some insights and encouragement. Because, you know, being single, you know, there's challenges out there. There's challenges for men.
Right.
And as a church, we want to be able to minister to those challenges so they can keep themselves sexually pure, come back and they renew their mind on how they see women, how they treat women. Because, again, if we call ourselves brothers and sisters, there's going to be sisters in the church that they're going to be like your biological sister. Your relationship is going to have boundaries set to it. But if you don't know how to do that effectively, because, again, I say this a lot in men's meetings, that women's emotions are different from our emotions. And they tend to, and they gravitate and they build relationships. I think we, as men, you know, we see the relationship different. Because I can be your friend, and I don't see an emotional bond. We can laugh together and whatever. But sometimes women see that differently. And then when it doesn't go their way, that can be, that could be some emotional things going on. Amen? Well, let me ask you this. I'm getting a little personal with you, bro. Do you find it more difficult dealing with single Christian women or single unsaved women? Just from your experience. I won't get you into too much trouble, so don't use no names or nothing.
Well, no, you didn't give me a good answer. You know what? Honestly, I really think I think it's more difficult to deal with Christian women. And I say
All right.
Don't call him. Call me.
No. They can call.
Because I'm the one that's saying this. Because I think. And we had communion service this past Thursday, and the preacher, the bishop that preached, he said something that was very keen and that I picked up on as one of the things that I kind of just thought was right on point. He said, "You have a lot of people who are that have religion, but are not saved." And I think in the body of Christ, a lot of women they take on the personification of religion, as far as I can't do this, I can't do that, I gotta be this way, you know, instead of living like Christ-like and saying, okay, it's okay for me to, you know, to go on a date, to enjoy myself, to have a good time. And it doesn't have to be anything sexual or anything like that. It can be where I can enjoy myself with someone of the opposite sex and it be okay, you know, as opposed to automatically going to, oh, you know, he's only trying to, you know, to do this, or he's only trying to have, you know, he's only trying to have sex with me. Everybody, every man that approaches you in church or speaks to you is not trying to sleep with you, you know. So getting that kind of vibe from, you know, from the women in church, and that's why I say that, as opposed to someone who may not, who is not necessarily in the church, and she's like, okay, you know, she understands and respects your religion, because I dated someone who was not a member of my church, didn't really go to church. She was outside of the church, and she respected, you know, she respected me for my religion. Didn't tell me I couldn't go, you know, couldn't go here, couldn't go there, couldn't be a part of the, you know, my men's classes, all the things that I was involved with my church. She didn't have a, she actually liked me doing those things and everything like that. So it had a positive influence on her, at least I hope it did. It had a positive influence on her where she could see someone, a man who was in the church, was going to respect her just like she respected me, and there was that mutual respect there where, you know, I wasn't forcing her to, oh, you got to go to church with me, or you better go to church with me, or you need to get involved in this in order for us to be together, and her not saying, well, you can't, you know, if you're going to be involved with me, you can't be involved in, you know, in the church and all of the things that you are a part of. So it was, it was a thing where, you know, where you can have it. I think it becomes difficult, you know, with, you know, with someone who's not dating someone who's not in the church, which it became for me, because you want that connection, you know, you want to be able to have that part of, you know, that part of you that, you know, that you mutually can understand each other that way, where you're like-minded like that.
Amen, amen. You know, you're right. I like that, because, but let me put this out there, because I know my listeners are already, my people who listen are already going. That you said two things. I'm going to clarify. You said you dated a woman who was not going to your local ministry, but she was a Christian, or she was not a professed Christian, and you were dating.
No, she wasn't a professed Christian.
Okay, okay. Because, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of, you know, people, whatever, you know, that Christians shouldn't get hooked up with non-Christians and try and be in a relationship. And, I mean, that's one that's, in some churches, that's taboo. You know, folks you know, they'll preach 45 minutes on that. However, I think my personal thing is, we have to, like you said, it's something also you said about, you know, it will, I understand what you're trying to say, but it is, we have a religious spirit in the church sometimes. We're doing a lot of things and we call it salvation, but our hearts is in our minds is somewhere else. But we sometimes struggle. And we do a lot of performance things that we look good to throw. But we have things on the inside that's not been dealt with, and we do stuff when we're away from the church because we think we're getting away with it. And I think and that's one of the things I say about dating. If even if you're dating someone in the church, out the church, this is just a life rule. You need to spend time with folk for a while before you determine who they are. Because, you know, the masquerade, the facade can be held up for a long time. But if you go through life, if you let a life just develop and let your relationship slow it down, you'll see things in people that you have to determine if that's the thing that's not going to change about.
Yeah. And I've always said that you need to get to know someone through all four seasons. You need to know how they act in the good times, and you need to know how they act in the bad times, and all of those things in between, because it allows you to understand who they are and how they're going to react in situations and circumstances, you know.
Amen. And that's the thing. The biggest thing I want to get across to young brothers is is wait. You know, no matter what. Wait and see what she's about. I say that to the young brothers, because a lot of young brothers, You know, no matter what's going on in their life, they're just guys. I'm just a guy. They're just guys. And we want to gain the affection of a female.
Mm-hmm,
but we
mm-hmm.
have to also, you know, I know it's cliche, and they think all men are predators when it comes to relationship, that we're all on the hunt for women. But some of us are seeking companionship, and then we get hooked up with women who are not good for us because we didn't
right.
wait.
Right.
We put all our eggs in a basket. I know this is not politically correct, but this happens to men too. Because over the years, I've known men, I've known brothers, and I know also men of a certain age still, either divorced or widowed, who get involved with women that are not good for them because they're looking for that companionship. And that's part of our makeup, because we want to have a woman in a relationship, but we don't take the time to really see the full them and decide.
Right.
We have great expectations, because that's something we talk about. I don't want to get off topic here, but we look at marriages. The expectations of marriage are not being met, and that's where marriages get in trouble, because we thought people were who they were not, and we didn't take time in the dating process. Because dating to me, I think that's for a single person, male or female, that's just screening time. That's how you determine who folks are, and if you don't take the time to, like you said, what you said about the seasons of life. There's four seasons in a year. So if you even with somebody, you know, whatever, give it a couple of years. I know one pastor told me, there's two things, I think. You need to be under, you should have a covering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there should be a covering. There should be someone who's there. You can call it chaperone. You can call it mentor. You can call it whatever you need to call it. But there should be someone who you're involved with, who you're giving updates on a relationship with, so they can, that you respect their advice. It could be your pastor, your deacon, a minister, an elder, or someone. And I'm not saying it's just for young people. I don't like picking on young people, because we have older folk who need this too. Because again, like you said, there's hurt folk out here, and a lot of hurt comes from relationships. And the people that hurt us the most are those that are closest to us. And if we're trying to fulfill an empty spot in how we get hooked up with folk that are not good for us, or we don't even really know them, we just want to put somebody in that spot. Amen?
I think it's vital that and especially we as men, I think it's vital that we do, like you said, take the time to get to know the woman that we may be dating. Because the thing of it is I don't know why we're in such a rush all the time to make things happen. It's just the nature of us being human beings or whatever. But being in a rush as opposed to taking that time, because someone's character, their true character and who they are, will eventually come out. People can try and put up the fake and put up the facade for only so long before their true character will come out. And that's why I say the four seasons, because if you get to know someone through those four seasons, trust me, they're going to be ups and downs. I believe they're going to be ups and downs within those four seasons. And you'll get to see that person. You'll get to see the inside of them, the character, who they are as a person. It kills me when I see shows, like Steve Harvey or other shows, when they talk about being single, and sometimes even within the church though too, when they get to talking about what someone is looking for in a mate. You know, what do you look for as a man? What do you look for in a woman? And the thing that they say, you know, some guys, we get caught up. In the physical, as opposed to wanting to say, you know what, the initial thing that catches us, I always believe, is the physical. That's what we see. You know, whether a woman is dressed nice, whether she has a pretty smile, that's what catches you. I think that's what catches your eye. But then after that, to know who she is on the inside, you know, does she have a sense of humor? You know, does she like to laugh? Does she enjoy, certain, you know, certain movies? Does she like certain foods? Getting to know her, and her characteristics and the person that she is, is she a mean person? Is she somebody that gets, you know, that treats other people, you know, with disrespect or just has a mean demeanor, you know, that type of thing. Getting to know who she is as a person, as opposed to just seeing, you know, the physical. When you do that, then you get to really understand, okay, if this person is really for me. And you got to also look at yourself too. You got to ask yourself, men need to do this. And I think I don't think men do it enough, but men have to know what they want in a woman. You know, do they, like I said, do they want a woman that has a sense of humor? Because they have a sense of humor. And they like to, you know, they like to laugh and have fun. You know, if you like to, you know, if you're someone who dresses nice, and you like someone who dresses really, you know, dresses really nice, you all may have that in common. Those things that become common to you, so that you know what it is that you're looking for. You know, a lot of women will say, "Well, I'll know him when I see him." No, you should already know, you know, what the characteristics of that man that you're looking for, or as a man, know those characteristics of the woman that you're looking for. So when you do meet her and you do get to know her, you'd be like, oh, there's another check that I can check off, you know, on who she is as a person. That's another thing that I'm looking for that she met. And you have that under, and you can see that. And then you can say, you know what, or you can say, nah, she don't have it. And you'd be like, nope, I can tell this is not going to work already. You know, those type of things.
Amen, sir. Amen. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here tonight with Brother Leroy McKenzie Jr., and we're talking about the single life, being single in the body of Christ. And we've been focused on some of his experiences as a single man in the body of Christ, singles ministry, dealing with single women in and outside the church. Again, you know, we were sharing his experience. If you wanted to comment, you can call it at 646-668-2636. And if you have any comments or questions you'd like to ask. Also, you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show. All our shows are archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Well, bro, we have about 1 minute or so left. Any closing comments? Oh, and also, again, share your business and your contact information with the audience.
Well, for those who are interested, as I mentioned, I am the president and CEO of JNF Enterprises, which is a distribution, publishing, and business consulting firm. I work with individuals with authors who are looking to, first-time authors who are looking to write a book or to get their manuscript from manuscript form into a book, as well as seasoned authors who are looking to gain more exposure or more market share in the publishing industry. And then I work with individuals or those who are looking to either start a business or to grow their business as well. So that's what I do. And they can contact me through, I'm on all of the social media, I should say Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under @JNF Enterprises on Instagram. Facebook, I have my Facebook page, JNF Enterprises, or my name, my individual page, which is Leroy McKenzie Jr. And then also they can email us at JNF, and that stands for Jesus Never Fails, JNFEnterprises@yahoo.com.
Amen, brother. Hey, I thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule and joining me tonight and sharing your insights. I pray that someone heard you, was encouraged, and had some wisdom and made them think about what they're doing and the choices they're making. And again, if you listen to this and you're single in your church and you don't have a singles ministry, or you'd like to get involved, hopefully you would reach out and get involved with the singles ministry, bring it to your leaders, participate. Again, the body of Christ with our auxiliary ministries is important that we be involved. Our input is valued. Our life experiences are valued. Because, again, God did not just save us for us. He saved us to be able to be effective and encourage one another in this Christian walk. Brother McKenzie,
absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, and God bless you.
All right, thank you. Thank you for having me this evening. Have a good evening.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven could be a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural